Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
Boy, boy, crazy boy, play loose boy.
Real cool.
Easy, does it, come in, play cool, cool boy. And come and go, and not like a yo-yo school boy.
Real cool. Highway diary. Highway diary. Passing by a farm with a dairy. Recharging with Gatorade.
Next to a ferry.
Play it cool, boy. Real cool. That was the worst scat rhyme I've ever done in my life. Hey guys, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm Eric Hollenbach, sitting co-host Chip Jeffrey Reeves.
Hey, this is Struggling My Pain with his song. Isn't it his song? Jeff Reeves.
Whoa, you are on fire right now. What's going on?
Thank you. That was just a little Lauryn Hill for the masses. Robert Flex for the older ones out there.
We've been on the road for a couple of hours now. Sipping 5-hour energy, maybe, I don't know, partaking in a prescribed legal.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
We're doing some things. We're having fun on the road. Boy.
Boy.
Man.
Boys to Men.
My favorite band.
It's a hard
Okay, Jeff. There's an audience out there. This is not just for us.
Right.
We've been passing a lot of slaughterhouses. We've been going up Route 5 on our way to San Francisco. Beautiful drive. It is 12:30 a.m. right now.
Yeah, we're just passing Chem Ave. It is 12:36 a.m. We are cruising along and I'm fucking flying!
We really do. We are on way too much 5-hour
I'm
range.
Exaggerating. I really feel, we're riding. I'm in a car.
I feel fired up right now.
We are on the edge of forever, about to make the leap into nowhere.
We did. So Jeff and I, we kept alluding to 7th grade. Now, what really happened in 7th grade? We started doing this thing called the Eric and Jeff Show, right?
Damn right.
And we started making videos. And one of my favorite sketches, this was probably the first thing we filmed.
Yeah, this really goes back.
And it was a sketch called The Fortune Teller. And I was seeking advice from Jeff, who was my fortune teller. And I went up to him, and I just gave him very... Now, before I even got to you, your voice was really high, right?
Yeah, I had not quite, maximized my pubic potential at the
your
time.
Your balls hadn't descended.
Not yet.
And so...
And waiting.
You had the highest voice in the world, and you just went... It was 90 octaves higher than that.
I had a greater octave than Mariah Carey at the time. And needless to say, I knew this was because I hadn't hit puberty yet, so, or at least entirely. So I was like, okay, I have no problem making fun of myself for having a high-pitched voice. I know it's not going to be that way forever.
And, so I went to him, and just everything I asked him, he just, in the middle of it, he just went... So, like, the sketch kind of went like this. It was like, hey, fortune teller, I need to help. I'm going to get a car in, like, a week. I don't know. Can you tell me when I'm going to get my car?
And I'd be like, let's see. That's an interesting investment. Well, let me look at my prospects. And, of course...
And then you just went, 1 week, which is the exact thing
exactly.
I just told you. The funny part was your voice, though.
Yeah, it was so girly at the time. That's what made it so funny.
You had to be there. Great podcast. You really had to hear it.
Yeah, if you ever hung out with some young boys, hear them squeal.
Hey, you want a cold
just,
one?
It's hilarious.
You want a cold one?
Hey, you want a cold one on your balls? So
we
I can
are
hear
very
you
great. Now, we like to criticize other people for having terrible anecdotes. You want a cold one? And then look what happened. So you liked another sketch, right, Jeff?
Yeah, well, there's another one called, I forget if it was Dead Bodies or 1-800-Cadaver.
Right.
But this one, I forget exactly how it went. You'll have to help me, but it was more or less like us trying to sell
dead bodies. Yeah, if you needed a friend, instead of getting an inflatable friend, why not just buy a cadaver? So we would take dead bodies from old people. Hey, what are you doing with that dead body? Nothing. Hey, let me buy it from you. I'll drop it in formaldehyde and sell them as friends.
Exactly.
And so we had just little sketches of us, like, pushing each other on swings and then just falling off them backwards and stuff. And then we had one where we, like, pushed him on a bike, a dummy on a bike, and it just fell over.
Oh, yeah, remembering this. Yeah, and it was, if I remember correctly, the dummy was just, like, almost pillowcases. Like, yeah. It was a really awful, awful dummy. No one would buy it by any means, which for us, made the skit even funnier. Looking back, it just made the skit dumber, but...
It was just... Yeah, we were just screaming into the microphone for 90% of the sketch, because we equated volume, as you could tell at the top of the podcast.
Exactly.
Volume is what really makes a podcast hilarious.
Yeah. So anyway, there's a website out there you might be familiar with called OKCupid.
So Jeff is talking about being on a film set. You know, Jeff is a big muckety-muck on a big corporate movie. He's smoking his cigars. 19-year-old girls are like, I'm going to Los Angeles. I need a place to stay.
It's
where
a very
are my
realistic
friends?
Depiction of my life. Yes, I agree.
My clam is way too tight. I need some help here.
Yes, yes.
It's fair. A problem.
Very accurate.
My clam is just eating through my cheeks.
It's more the barbecue sauce than the macaroni.
Someone needs
cheese.
To munch on it. Oh, someone munch my clam. I don't have those problems. Jeff has those problems.
Malcolm
so
X is an underrated
for guys
movie.
Like single guys like me, who aren't really good at game. You know, I've tried many things. I've tried speed dating. I've done that like 100 times, yielding 0 results. And also I tried OkCupid now. So I've been on a couple dates and, I don't know. I met this one girl last weekend, via that. And, I don't want to give too much away about her. We had a very lovely, we went to get, some pastries and had some tea and then, it was very nice. So, basically all I'm saying here is, we're in San Francisco. We're going to meet up because she's like, oh, in the next 2 weekends, I'm going to be busy, but I'm going to be in San Francisco next weekend. And I said, get out of here. And I punched her right in the cunt.
It's true. I saw it.
And I can't say that. But anyway, sorry if you're listening to this lady.
Hit a lovely shot. Please call me again.
So, basically, we're going to... meet up in San Francisco, and you know, I'll see on the way back. I'm either gonna be like, Jeff will be, hey, how'd it go with that girl? And I'll be like, yeah, oh, that's went terrible, or I'll let you know what happened. You know, I'm trying to get in there, so we'll see.
We're on the road to love with Eric Hollerbeck. Cupid pointing up. He's like a boater.
Good one. This is the kind of humor that comes on Highway Diaries. Beautiful. No, I'm just some kind of a mean person, and I'll make fun of people if they make a bad joke.
I make plenty of them.
It's a personality problem.
I don't take,
speaking
I don't
of
take
bad
it
jokes,
personally.
Wait, remember, speaking of the Eric and Jeff show, remember the most famous bad joke?
Oh, I remember, of course.
Okay, so we were doing a wrestling sketch, and I said...
This was actually the very first video that me and him made. It was like a few different skits. And then one of them was just like a fake wrestling match, just an excuse for us to roll around with dummies and stuff. But when we had our entrances, we came up with names for everyone.
You need a gimmick as a wrestler,
yeah, you know,
right?
A personality.
And my character was, I was the pervert. I was like,
I was introduced first.
Sicko. I was Dr. Okay.
I was Spandex McGee, and it was just...
And you just
flexed.
Posing.
It wasn't funny, but then we're like...
You're Spandex McGee, and then, and Dr. Sicko. The camera moved to me.
And so it's Dr. Sicko, and we get to Eric, and he's like in a trench coat with sunglasses, and he's like, okay, ha-ha, he's Dr. Sicko, and, you know, that's kind
and
of funny.
I open my trench coat, and my little brother in a fire...
And a fire helmet
runs out from, like, not only am I fucking this kid, but we're deep into role playing. Like, I can't get off unless he's like, Mister, mister, spray me with your fire hose! And then I just piss all over his face. That's the kind of role playing Dr. Sicko. All in line with this move of Dr. Sicko opening his trench coat and a little boy grows up. We played this during sixth grade during recess.
Seventh grade. And then the teacher actually, she let us get away with that.
She let us do it. It was all implied pedophilia.
We never had any trouble with the videos. Sometimes they got a little worrisome. I remember there was a couple times she's like, what's this? And then everyone's like, no, I promise this is the worst part or whatever. And so she
McGrath did get kicked out once.
Yeah, I was going to say, there was one time someone got kicked out. And it wasn't either of us. It was just a special guest we had, which is our buddy Matt McGrath. And he came up there with a guitar to sing a song that Eric had wrote, if I remember correctly.
It was during the Bill Clinton years.
The Lewinsky scandal.
The Lewinsky scandal was hot. We were right in there with the 90s comedy, and we wanted to do a Bill Clinton joke. And the whole line was, I went to the beach and I picked up a nice complexion. I'm using this guitar to hide my erections. Matt, leave, please. Yes. Matt, get out of here.
And then Ms. Lebron instantly kicked him out of the room.
She's got a problem.
Amazingly, let us continue with the show.
We did more sketches. Then we did the pedophilia routine, and my brother was sucking my dick.
Yes, exactly.
And I was like, I'm Dr. Sicko. Pedophilia is cool. As long as it's not anally penetrative, then that's where they draw the line.
Yeah,
blowjobs are cool.
I would agree with that, you know. Everyone's here to party, you know.
You gotta find where the line is and then play with it. That's what comedy is.
Oh, my motto is you gotta find where the penis is and then play with it.
You're really trying to change the official record here. We are two straight men.
I know that.
Okay.
You love to party.
You're just a big non-relenting gay joke. And we're good friends. We've known each other since kindergarten. People are going to get the wrong idea, is all I'm saying.
You're right. Let's move on.
We only finger each other's butthole. How many times do we have to say that?
Actually, I always made me think of this joke or like this skit where a guy comes down to like breakfast or whatever the next morning, and like his brother is like playing on the ground and his mom's at the table drinking her coffee, and the little brother's like, hey, how you doing, mom? She's like, I actually didn't sleep a lot. And she's like, oh, why not? And she's like, well, your older brother Billy was upstairs banging his girlfriend all night long, and that's why I couldn't sleep. And then Billy just looks at her and he goes, she's not my girlfriend, mom, and runs out. And,
I get it.
because it's not that he's embarrassed that his mom heard him having sex. He's embarrassed that she thinks that whore is his girlfriend. Because who else could it be but a whore, a slut?
That cum dumpster. Fucking hunchbacked. Fucking whore up there. I filled that bitch full of loads. I am a non-committal guy. That is a squawky, exactly, annoying, fat whore.
What do you take me for, a loser?
I don't care about her. I don't want anything to do with her. And if she's pregnant, I'm going to make her take me to Maury to fucking prove the kid is mine.
That's exactly right.
I filled that bitch up with semen. I had fucking semen laying out, drying, and I out in the sun all week. I collected it in jars and I taxidermied her with it. I filled this whore with dry cum. Then I fucked her all day.
You got that, mom?
She is not my girlfriend! Not my girlfriend! Jesus Christ, in the age of the internet, guys are cruel these days. They're sexting you, spending your pictures of their boner 1 second, the next minute, hit the road, sister.
That's why we're here, ladies. Love you.
This is the most chauvinistic podcast ever. No, that commercial is a very chauvinistic commercial, man.
Yeah,
like, that's why I applaud it. All right, so we got a list of topics here. I think we What's
yeah, so, let's see. So, Jeff ate cookies without asking.
Unbelievable. So, right at the start of this...
Adventure.
Before we got in the car to drive to San Francisco, which we're still doing, by the way. We're on Route 5, just in case you need an update. Still hundreds of miles to San Francisco.
Oh, God.
Hopped up on 5-hour energy. Jeff keeps thinking that the cops are chasing us. He's paranoid. I don't know why.
I have a phobia, I suppose, of cops.
I know. Somewhere after podcast 2, we started thinking that the cops were after us. What happened?
Just, you know, being safe.
What happened? All of a sudden, you're really paranoid. He's starving. So speaking of hungry, we got in the car, I fed Jeff some kielbasa.
That's right. Delicious kielbasa.
You're welcome.
The roll was great. No, we didn't have rolls.
Just in case I meet you on OkCupid, I'm gonna fill you up with some kielbasa. That's
right. Yeah. And some other things.
My roommate Sergio actually had cookies, very homemade cookies from a housewife who he knows somehow, don't ask, and you were just eating my cookies, eating the pastry. I opened it up for you, but then I go, yeah, you can eat that, and he goes, what, with his face full of the food. And he's like, what'd you say? And I'm like, I'm trying to give you permission. And it's like, Jeff is asking permission for food? When he's shitting. That's when he's asking for permission for food. When he's shitting your food out. How about a little manners, Jeff?
Well, I like to, basically, if you ask someone before you start eating it, they might say no.
How many Altoids?
Then how else are you gonna eat it?
How many Altoids did you eat before you asked if you can have an Altoid?
I did not steal any Altoids, but once you let me have it, that's when I said, "Hey, it's a free ball."
No, I said, "Hey, can I have some? You can have 5-hour energy." Then all of a sudden, crunching.
Yeah. I said eating Altoids before I asked.
Now Jeff is a beauty queen, so right now he has Invisalign in his face.
Right, I'm very embarrassed about it.
And I just hear this awful crunching sound in this plastic mangling, and he just starts chewing, and then he's like, oh, I forgot my Invisalign, blah, 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 and he takes out this plastic thing.
Well, I'm trying to correct my bottom teeth, which are a little crooked, and I just want to make my bite down a little more easy for jawing.
Now, let me tell you something. When you're chasing 19-year-old Poonie,
you need a good jawline.
That's way out of your league. Want to have Invisalign. You want to have a nice smile.
Exactly.
You want to play the game.
It's worth it. Hey, beauty is money. And money is beauty.
I have to make a confession.
Yeah.
One thing that I've been embarrassed about my beauty for a long time has been I have a crazy amount of body hair. I'm a hairy man.
He's Robin Williams.
I'm Robin Williams. I have hair on my shoulders. It's very gross. And my back, And recently I've been getting it lasered off. And it is the most painful process. I feel like, and this is a very embarrassing confession, but sometimes nature deals you a hand and you're like, no. And then how can I fix that? So I've been getting laser treatments. God, it fucking kills.
Well, I knew you're getting implants in your hair or something like that.
I'm also balding. Thanks for bringing that up. No, I have a laser comb for that. I haven't. It might not work. So I have a laser comb for my balding. Lovely. That's on the podcast. Great. It's cool. And yeah, so I'm just all kinds of genetically fucked with my hair. It's growing in all the wrong places. Lasering it off. Trying to grow it in other places. Lasering it on. I got a laser comb from my
hair. You just got hair in the wrong places.
That's what's going on. If I could only take them from my asshole to my fucking yarmulke region.
You don't have to go into detail, but what parts of your body are you getting lasered?
My shoulders.
Oh, okay.
And my back. Oh. It's only at the top of my back, but it's fucking gross. I'm just if I could just get it lasered and then never worry about
exactly,
it again.
Yeah.
That's what
that's
I'm doing.
That's why I got the eye surgery and the teeth thing, too.
Yeah, you got laser eye treatment.
Yeah.
How was that? Was that really painful?
No, not at all. It was, the actual surgery itself was not painful at all.
They
don't knock you out, which is very strange. And instead, they more more or less numb your eye. And so when they're operating on it, you don't feel a thing. And so what's crazy is when you're in there, if you've ever seen the movie Clockwork Orange, at the end of the movie, they have to, like, pry the guy's eyelids open, and they have a little mechanism to do that, and then there's a guy standing by with water drops to make sure he doesn't lose moisture in his eyes. So anyway, that's exactly what this was.
They were doing it Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah, exactly. They pried my eye open, and there's literally a person there to make sure they kept putting water drops in my eyes.
And as they're lasering.
Yeah, and then he, like, told me to, like, look at this light. Jesus. And it became difficult to look at the light because there was, like, water drops in the way that you were looking at. Like, the vision was all blurry. It was, like, literally looking underwater. And so so then it was, like, he like, kept saying, like, there was, like, one time where I guess I looked away, and he's like, nope, stay looking at the light or whatever. And he, like, made it almost like a threatening voice. And
I wonder if
you're, like, terrified. Like, oh, God, I gotta keep looking at the light, and then all you want to do is look away.
I wonder if anyone died during that surgery. And he's like, look, the last thing you hear, look at the light, look at the light, here. Walk towards the light, Jeffrey. Walk towards the light, Jeffrey. God, Dr. Benjamin, no, this is God. God damn it.
Teen hospitalized with dehydration after four-day Xbox marathon. An Ohio woman has confiscated the Xbox. Did we read this already?
Yeah, we're recording that.
Of her 15-year-old son who was hospitalized for dehydration after spending at least 4 days in his bedroom playing the Modern Warfare 3 video game.
So this kid was playing Modern Warfare to the point where he was so dehydrated that he had to be hospitalized. So his mom said, bye, I'm going to grandma's this weekend. There's plenty of water in the fridge. There's plenty of food. You're 14 years old. Take care of yourself. He said, great, mom, get the fuck out of here. I know what I'm doing.
Hey,
went downstairs. He plugged in his Modern Warfare. Go on.
No, go.
And he just played for 4 days straight, maybe getting 15 minutes sleep every 3 hours. Drinking Red Bull.
Jesse Rollins tells the NBC affiliate in Columbus that her son Tyler Rigsby emerged from his bedroom Tuesday morning after a marathon round of game playing and collapsed 3 times. She says he became very pale and his lips turned blue. I was very scared. I thought he was going to die, she tells WCM. He just fell over 3 times.
Jesus.
The TV station quotes an emergency physician at a children's hospital as saying dehydration can lead to decreased blood pressure and a lack of adequate oxygen to the brain.
Now, this may have happened to me. I was in danger of dying of dehydration when I was about this age from masturbation. I don't know about you, Jeff, but there were times where my parents would say, oh, I'm going to the grocery store, and I would get ready for a four-day masturbation.
Oh, yeah,
marathon,
I know that feeling, yeah.
You know, where you're like,
oh, yeah.
I am producing enough jizz so that to fill a fountain in my local, I don't know where this joke is going, but listen, when you're 14 years old, your body's raging, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I used to, right before bed every night, I used to just, you know, jerk off into a Kleenex.
How else are you going to fall asleep?
How else are you going to fall asleep? When literally there's this, women don't understand that there's this sack of poison that builds up in a man's balls, right? It's poison that needs to get out. Just like if a snake bites you, someone needs to suck that poison out. Just in the same way, this poison is in our balls, and it needs to be extracted so that we don't go crazy and shoot up a post office. So anyway, you know, and when you're 14 especially, you've got awfully quiet job. And so I would masturbate into a tissue and then just kind of throw it under my bed. And I kind of created a tissue graveyard where just all these kids that could have been, all my offspring that could have been, that I just fucking, probably my good spunk. When I was young and 14, those are my swimmers,
those
man.
Those are the kids you want.
Those are the Olympic kids. You know, kids are in the Olympics when they're 16. That is when their bodies are virile. They're very flexible. My spunk would have fucking swam up a twat and busted out their belly button and punched a bitch in the face. I had some swimmers. So anyway.
For Phelps 5.
So I had a tombstone. I had a Kleenex graveyard when I was 14. Oh. So what were your masturbation habits when you were 14? We never really talked about this when we were kids, but how often were you going at yourself?
Yeah, I guess it's something you never really talk about when you're in the midst of it, you know?
It's your polite cup. It's not something you're like,
hey,
really
so
proud
how's your masturbation going these days?
And we were both getting diddled by Catholic priests that they, that we used to think that pulling on his God snake made us go to heaven. So our sexuality was really, really distorted from
For a long time, I thought masturbating was opening your mouth really wide.
And getting your soul purified by old priest cum.
Holy water.
And taking a swimmers to my tummy tum. So... anyway, what's our next news story? Oh, we have a series of lawsuits, I bet.
Yeah.
Now, our country has problems. Not just because of the fact that they're suppressing free energy technology from cars that could be running on water. But they're also, our country is plagued by lawsuits. Go on, what are some lawsuits that are plaguing our country? Frivolous lawsuits.
Well, here's a lawsuit that took place in 2005.
It really burned me
This up. Century. This took place at a Wendy's restaurant. Wendy's Hamburgers, that is. Well, in 2005, Anna Ayala claimed she found a severed finger in her Wendy's chili, and the nation made a giant vomiting noise, as this author cutely writes. As a result, Wendy's lost millions in sales from patrons who had images of severed fingers dancing in their heads. But it turns out to be a giant hoax. The cold fingertip was planted in the chili by Ayala and her husband, Jamie, who acquired the fingertip from a friend who lost it in a workplace accident.
She wants to, she takes this finger. I got a finger. How can we make money off this? She puts it in her chili at Wendy's. She makes a lawsuit. She screams and makes a scene in the Wendy's and tries to sue Wendy's. But then I guess there was an inquiry by the Wendy's lawyers into the matter, and apparently they traced the finger back to a friend.
Yeah, how the hell do you get a... Not only do you have... You have to have a friend who loses a finger in the first place, but then after that, you gotta be able to be like, hey, man, mind if I hold on to that for a little bit?
Yeah, so if a friend loses a finger and he doesn't immediately say, want to go to the hospital and have it reattached in ice.
He's like, you know somebody gonna hold my finger?
He's like, how can we make money with this finger? Don't go to Wendy's. They've seen that scam before. They're gonna turn down your lawsuit.
No way, man.
They're gonna squash you like a little bug. Because they're a giant corporation. They're at the top of the pyramid scheme. They're the one percenters, and they got lawyers that will kill you. They will poison you in a restaurant if you make a water car. God damn it. Let's wake up, America.
I like Wendy's a lot. It's probably my favorite out of, like, McDonald's.
Dude, I had their spicy chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, woo! That's, like, the best.
So delicious.
I had that right around the corner from where I lived in Michigan, and that was some of the best times of my life.
Oh, really?
That Wendy's.
In-N-Out is probably my favorite chain. Wendy's number two. A solid number two.
I gotta be honest. I mean, I like In-N-Out. The burgers are good. But I think they're a little overrated.
What?
No, it is like... I think the reason they're so popular is because, one, you know, the branding and the way they advertise is fun. But like, at the end of the day, it's like, you know, just the $3 hamburgers or whatever, $2
even. The meat's really good.
I think it's fun and they're delicious, but... if you're just talking on a taste test, not talking, you know, what the image of the company is, I gotta say Wendy's. I enjoy
you
them.
Think that they're a marketing scam?
No, I just think that In-N-Out, you know, a talented bunch of folk, and Wendy's just happens to be the big girl in town.
Speaking of people who tried to sue massive corporations and lost, we got another lawsuit here. A guy called Richard Overton sued Budweiser because he saw a Budweiser commercial, and he saw a bunch of guys being very merry with women, carrying on, laughing. Beautiful, exotic women were laughing and drinking beer. He sues Budweiser.
For false advertising for $10,000.
You know, he settled for 10 grand. Wendy's finger people were going for millions.
Well,
I could buy a hooker for 10 grand.
Exactly.
I just want one hooker to be merry with me while I drink a Budweiser.
And you could argue on a moral level, he's got a point. But anyway, he noted that the commercials for Bud Light depicted scenarios where beautiful women and men engaged in endless and unrestricted merriment.
Now, then his lawyer literally goes in there. Now, unrestricted merriment was the legal term that they went in there with this lawsuit.
Overton apparently felt distress when he discovered beer didn't guarantee this.
So he went up to a woman in her 20s, and he said, "Hey, what's going on? I drank 19 beers." And then she restricted his merriment immediately when he puked on her, and she said, "Get away from me, you fat asshole, you fat drunk loser drinking Budweiser all day." And then he went, "I'm going to sue for 10 grand to buy that bitch."
His case was promptly dismissed.
He wanted to fill her up with some cum.
Exactly.
And then he said, 10 grand can get me there. I can go to Aspen, I can have a little skiing, and I want one of the most expensive whores you got in a weekend.
Eric, if you could kiss any woman in the world, not including your mom or sister, who would it be?
I gotta say, Google image search Yamala Diaz.
I do not know her.
Google image search Yamala Diaz.
Yalama.
Oh my god. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Probably I was into those in like 08 or, I don't know, before that. Maybe 05?
Yeah.
Holy shit. And Heidi Klum, of course. All right, go on. What's the next lawsuit? Any more lawsuits we got?
Man sues magician for using his power. According to his website, Christopher Royler is a powerful being, as witnessed by the CIA. And Tom Hanks is going to play him in a movie about his godlike powers and 30 wives. Though Royler talks about his ability to have astral-projected sex and to cheat death in a joking manner, he has filed several serious lawsuits. In 2005, Royler sued magician David Blaine for $50 million because he claimed Blaine was tapping Royler's power to perform magic tricks. He also sued David Copperfield for similar magic stealing. Yet despite being all-powerful, Royler lost his case.
Like, now he doesn't want to say, "They stole some of my magic tricks." This guy's saying they stole some of my magic power. They are Chris Angel and David Copperfield. Basically, any magician with money. This guy is citing as going on legal cases and saying they've taken my magic power. And now, at the end, how is this going? Now he's not giving up, is he? Is he? What does he say? Is he giving up on his website?
No, he says he'll keep suing.
No, my magic didn't work, but I'll use the power of the corrupt law system.
Litigious man.
I'm going to point my fingers at you and sue you. I'm suing you. He's out of power. But you know what he has? Money to throw at Jew lawyers.
Money to that respect. First to get the money.
This podcast, I'd like to say, the Highway Diary is both chauvinistic and anti-Semitic and against Catholics.
Yeah, what about a tomboy?
Great. Thanks for that. Any more lawsuits, Chef?
There's another in-joke with me in second grade. Chinese man sues wife for being ugly. When most people have an ugly baby, they hope the kid will grow out of it and move on. But when Chinese man, Jian Feng, I don't know whether they need to mention he's Chinese.
They just keep on saying Chinese man. They really wanted to. The writer of this wanted to go, "Can I please say Chinaman? Let me say rickshaw running Chinaman."
I don't like where this is going. But when Chinese man, Jian Feng, had one, he demanded answers from his beautiful wife. She broke down and admitted that she had undergone extensive plastic surgery before she met Feng. Feeling betrayed, Feng discovered his wife and then successfully sued her for $120,000 in damages for marrying him under false pretenses.
Whoa! So, you're saying that this guy, this Chinaman, his wife birthed him an ugly child.
Exactly.
And he said, "You're so beautiful, what's going on here?"
Exactly.
And then he came. How did he come to the figure of $120,000? What do you think? That's the cost of surgery to fix his ugly baby now?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how he came up with that. It's like when he can't stand, look in the mirror, you take a look at yourself, realize it's time to change.
Change!
I was Man in the Mirror by Michael Jackson.
Wow. Throwing it down.
Well, you know. did his best stuff in the 80s.
Now, it's interesting this brings up, because now I have changed my body via laser hair removal.
That's right. You lasered your pubes.
And I'm also...
your assholes. It's okay, we've all been there.
And I'm also lasering to try to put hair back on my head with a laser comb. Actually, when I bought this thing on Amazon, one of the reviews said, this item is electronic snake oil.
Nice.
I hope that's a good review. Electronic snake oil. Great.
Oh, I agree.
It wasn't cheap, by the way. So that's the kind of investments this guy's making these days. For vanity.
Exactly.
Do you think if I have any kids and they start balding and they're all hairy, they can now my Chinese wife can sue me for $120,000 after she gives birth to a bald, hairy little kid?
I mean, she'd never sue herself, but hey, you can sue her.
Does it only work if I'm a Chinaman? Yeah. Why did they mention 100 times that this guy was a Chinaman?
This author was obsessed with the fact that he was Chinese.
This rickshaw ride.
Let it go, man.
We're all one people
exactly.
here. Christ almighty.
If he was Korean, then I understand.
This has been the Highway Diary. You've listened to another installment. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach.
I'm your special guest co-host, Jefferson Reeves.
Riding in the passenger seat, sipping 5-hour energy. His voice is getting hoarse. We've been dragged for 200 fucking miles up to San Francisco.
I sound like Tony Danza.
We're both from Jersey, and our voices are getting hoarse. We're probably going to have some fruit drink, we're going to have a pee, and record another one in another 15 minutes. You're just going to hear us slowly go insane. I've been up since 5:40 a.m.
The first Naked Gun was the best one.
This has been Highway Diary with Eric Hollerbach. See you later, guys.
Goodbye.
What's up? It's Eric Hollerbach. I'm reminding you to check out my other podcast, Fudge House Rules. We did 3 new episodes. We're going to re-RSS on iTunes, all the old ones again. It's been 6 years in the making. Fudge House Rules is back. Also, look forward to the Damien Shadows web series. It's probably going to be out around February 2013. Also, check out my Facebook. Get on my Twitter handle. They're both Eric Hollerbach. Get on my news feed. I got the shit wired.